Great, if we have, wonderful. One of the things that I did over the 4 or 5 weeks was I signed up to some online theological courses. So there's a guy called Professor Tom Wright, and he does some online video courses. He used to be a professor at Durham University. He's quite well known. He's written screeds of books. And the first course I did was one called Simply Good News. And that's, I'm going to give you a sort of overview of the course that I took. It was about 2 hours worth of video plus questions and a bit of study around that. And it does have an accompanying book that I didn't buy. But yes, Simply Good News. And I think it's a really interesting subject, that the sense of good news and what it means. Because when you think of Christianity, a lot of people think of it today, if people haven't really sort of thought about much, that it's, you know, some good advice. If we look at the Bible, it's got proverbs in it and full of other useful hints and tips about how we are to live our life. And so when we're thinking about the proverb stuff, Fred, you know, if you take this from Proverbs, which is some quotes, it's better to be promoted to be a place of honor than face humiliation by being demoted. Don't jump to conclusions. There are many perfectly good explanations for what you just saw. You know, there's lots of really good advice in the Bible, as there are in a whole range of other philosophical writings. And so that's one of the really interesting things when you think about talking to people about Christianity is, you know, if you've looked on Facebook, I've seen so many posts where people are saying, I'm not into God, but I'll follow that advice. I'm not into God, but that actually really does ring true. And as someone did say, as an atheist, but, you know, I think that sense, and it was someone quoting a proverb, you know, That's a good bit of advice for my life. But Christianity isn't good advice. It's something far more. And so when you think about what good news is, we need to think about what news is. So when you get up in the morning and you turn on the radio, or in our case, I go, Alexa, good morning, and it gives me a load of stuff that tells me what's happened the night before. It's telling me about news, and there's something fundamentally different about news and what news is. News reports on something that has changed. It reports on an event that has happened. So whether it's the fact that you've had a birthday, like we sang this morning and we celebrated the fact that Christiane and Roger are that bit older. Hopefully nothing too much has changed for them. But, you know, on Friday, we woke up and we heard some quite significant news about an event that had happened in the Kermadec, the fact that there had been an earthquake. We wake up and we find many different things, but news is about the fact that something has happened. And when you think of news in the context of the Old Testament, you know, it's a slightly more elongated sense of the word news, because of the fact today we're fortunate enough to have social media and have radios and TVs and the internet pouring stuff in it at us immediately. The sense of news for the Old Testament was a bit different. Margaret, can we go to slide 3? Next one. And so the word that they often used, and in this book, Tom Wright goes on about the Greek word elongelion, elegelion, which is, and the sense that what was happening at that time, that there was quite a big struggle in the Roman Empire around the time of the first century Jews. You had a contest between two parts of Rome. You had Anthony in the Middle Eastern area, and a gentleman who was going to become Caesar Augustus, when he ended up winning, beating Mark Anthony. What happened was the news came back to Rome that there was a big battle that had been won. And so there was a sense of a change had happened. A report had happened that the world was going to change for everybody in Rome, because the person who they were actually backing had won the war. Now, it was going to take 2 years for him to actually go around and continue his exercises of mopping up the rest of the other guy he was up against, his forces. So they were living in this time between the announcement of victory and the celebration that was going to come and did come when finally he returned to Rome and became Caesar. And so they had this sense of change had happened, but the fulfillment of that change was to come. And so that's something that when the Christians talked about good news, it is the same thing. The fact that the Christians saw good news as coming. At a time when Jesus was born, there was a lot of discussion around the fact that a revolution was going to occur. And if you've anything about the historical time of Jesus, there was a sense of what was going to happen. Were there going to be revolutionaries coming and bringing Israel back from freedom from the Roman Empire? And so in the Jewish sense at that time, they were talking about something was going to change. You had the fact that John the Baptist was out in the desert raising symbols of the Old Testament and of renewal coming. You had the fact that Jesus was declaring good news and that things would change, that debts would be cancelled, a time of Jubilee would occur. And so there was this huge sense of something had happened with Jesus, but also that things would happen in the future. And so if we think about the good news of Jesus, I want to ask, have you ever been at a situation where you've missed an event happening? So there might have been something where there was an astronomical event and you've spent your time looking in the sky, but it actually was behind you. I know that many times I've gone out searching for things that we're meant to find, and fortunately nowadays you've got smartphone apps that you just point up and you find out where it is, but often in the past we'd miss it, or it might be overcast. Now that didn't again mean the event didn't happen. And so the thing that was really interesting about Jesus' time and that sense of good news from him is that there was a lot of stuff happening, and people around him missed the fact that he was the good news. So Jesus was doing dramatic things, but in ways that weren't expected. I've already said that there was a sense of this would be a time of revolution, and everyone thought that that revolution would mean that the Jews would end up having a new king, they would overthrow the Romans, and the world would be completely different. But Jesus' approach to his revolution was one based on love, on bringing healing and reaching out to people. His death on the cross was, again, not what people expected. And when you think of the disciples, a lot of them actually missed the whole sense of who Jesus was. From James and John asking Jesus, could we sit at his side in glory, to the sense of that being an old-style revolutionary approach and having a new king taking place with a whole pantheon of empire around it. To the example on the road to Emmaus where, you know, those disciples missed that he was walking alongside them. Even John was not even sure that what Jesus was doing was what was expected. He sent his disciples out and said, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one who is coming? And Jesus' response was, look at what I am doing. Look at those signs. Look at the healing I am bringing. So Jesus was talking about something that was quite different to what people expected. Jesus was talking about the fact that the kingdom of heaven was now. It wasn't something in the future. The event had happened. Jesus had come. That was the news. And that we're now living in this period until there will be a renewal of creation and heaven and earth come together. So Jesus was talking about heaven and earth now. not about a kingdom based on force, but a kingdom based on love. And so what is interesting is that Jesus himself, bringing this different way of thinking and being God incarnate on earth, was something that people missed even in real time then. Even though they were living in it, they didn't truly understand the seismic shift that this good news was to us. Fred, next slide. So Jesus had won the battle. His coming and his death and resurrection was the seismic event that changed the course of history. It enables us to live in this time between now, between then, and when Jesus will return and we have the new heaven and the new earth coming together. So early Christians saw Jesus' resurrection as a flagpost for the future. That God's will come to the whole creation and he will do for the whole creation what he has done for Jesus already. The early Christians believed they were living in this time between the seismic event and the fulfillment of that renewal. And the key thing is that all people can live in that. We as Christians can live in the transforming power of Jesus' victory. And we can receive that through the Bible, through reading the Bible, through worship, through prayer, through opening ourselves to God's forgiveness and through forgiving others. This transformation is here for us today. The kingdom of heaven is now. As it was for the early Christians, we are living in that time as they are. A time when the things that were past, the decay that was happening in the world, has finished because Jesus has won the victory. The good news about the new creation is that the Gospels tell of Jesus' return. When we think of Romans 8, it says, I am sure that what we are suffering now can't compare with the glory that will be shown to us. In fact, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to show us, to show who his children are. Meanwhile, creation is confused, but not because it wants to be confused. God made it this way in the hope that creation will be set free from the decay and would share in the glorious return of his children. The New Testament talks of heaven and earth coming together. In Ephesians 1, chapter 10. And then when the time is right, God will do all that he has planned, and Christ will bring together everything in heaven and on earth. And so one of the key themes of the whole Bible is the theme of creation moving through to renewal and the new creation to come, and the fact that creation will be restored. The good news is that God will refresh and restore his creation into a new creation, a time of justice and peace. That heaven and earth come together, and that we are citizens of heaven here on earth. And the good news about heaven is that God comes to live with us, that we become more fully human in his image. And that happens today through the fact that when people turn to Christ and become disciples of Christ, we see a transformation in them. We see them starting that journey as creation and as humanity has from the death and resurrection through to a time when we can be more restored to as people. We can become more loving when we follow in Jesus' footsteps. This is not an escapist dream, and this is not a sense that we have to wait and we get whipped off away to a new heaven sometime in the future. This is about transformation now. And we can pray for signs of transformation in this world. And we know that when people get together and pray earnestly and with deliberance, that God answers those prayers. And we've seen that through social change and through movements of environmental change and social justice throughout the world. The victory of Christ is putting into practice through our actions, our prayer, and our lives. I think one of the really amazing things about the good news is that the good news about God is that God is alive and is involved in his creation. And if you think about any of the many philosophical perspectives that have developed in the Western world, and even a whole bunch of other religions, you know, God is distant. But God is not an absentee landlord. He has created this world and stepped away. God does not want to be separate from us, and he doesn't want to punish us. And we also don't need to have the split view of the spirit and the physical world, which is something that isn't from a Jewish perspective. So we have a God who is a God of love, not a God of retribution. I mean, when you think that don't be afraid is the most common command in the whole of the Bible, and you think that God created the world and it was good. You know, the world is a place full of joy and celebration. And God is not a cool joy. God wants us to live in that joy and celebration. And so when we think about what that means in our lives today, in the real world, we've still got many people who have the wrong concept of how God is and what the good news means. We've got many people who live in the Western world who have views of God being distant, or that we need to be stoic and just think our way through things. I think it's really important that we grasp the fact that God is alive and in our lives today. And as Ashani said last week when she talked about strengthening the soul of leadership, and one of the key points of her whole sermon was that actually to be Christians in whatever role we face, we have to find the rhythm of God in those different aspects of the lives of our lives that she talked about. Whether that be our financial lives, our social lives, our physical engagements, our religious space, and our spiritual time. We can't deliver the kingdom of God without God. So I think what's really important is that, you know, we have to understand that and taking on the sense of Ashani is how do we create those rhythms in our lives that actually create space in all those different aspects of our lives for where we can spend time reading the Bible or praying or doing works that actually continue to bring us back to the good news of Jesus Christ. So God loves his creation, and we are waiting for that new creation to be fulfilled. We are standing in this time of preparing for a great celebration. We can see what the world will be like by looking at Jesus. And we can see that when we bring Jesus into our lives, just as God is looking at renewing his creation, he is looking at renewing renewing us. And that means that God and Jesus meets us in our pain, in the deep, sad, and lost places of our lives that we hide away, and can bring freshness and healing and fill those parts of our lives with joy. This is the challenge of the kingdom of God in our world today. Living in the reality of the good news. The victory that has been won, and as we wait for the return of Jesus and the renewal of all creation. And so how can we put that into practice? Well, it starts with the Bible. And you may remember my last, I think, time I preached, I did the Bible binge, which was, I think it was 6:38 or so, and it was about the 1838, I think it was, reading the whole Gospel of Mark in 38 minutes. And really, the ability to reconnect with the Bible, the ability to sit down and read it deeply or read it as a book, as you would a book, so you get a whole broad sense of the wondrous story that is told in Jesus' life. And then going from there back into the Old Testament, because the Old Testament provides that wonderful foundation for where Jesus came. So starting with the Bible, we are people of the good news. We are good news people. We can be transformed in our hearts and minds, acting out this good news in our lives by learning to pray, learning to forgive. And that starts with being forgiven by God and opening our hearts to how that forgiveness can transform us. That enables us to be good news carriers, signposts to the kingdom of God in our daily lives. We are called to reflect the beauty of God's new creation in the world today. The good news is that the living God is indeed establishing his kingdom on earth as in heaven through the finished work of Jesus, and is inviting people of all sorts to share not only in the benefits of this kingdom, but also in the work through which it will come to its ultimate completion. So now we're going to have a time of reflection and communion.